I want you to begin your reading with me in verse 1 today, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Very interesting story here, interesting chapter in this Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I want you to read with me in verse 5. We'll drop down to another verse, read it, go to another verse. There's three things I want to show you here today. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to underline the words, "shut the door," verse 5. Shut the door. If you go down to verse 21, the Bible says, "And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out." Underline that expression, shut the door. Shut the door. And then here in verse 33, the Bible says, "And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord." To underline that expression, shut the door. Three times we have here in this fourth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, they are instructed to shut the door. And I really believe that there is a reason that God put these three words in this fourth chapter. I believe there's a reason God put these three words in this 1189 chapters of His Word in order to teach us something that we need to know. One day, several years ago, as I try to read my Bible through every year, I was reading through this fourth chapter and I noticed that expression, shut the door, kept repeating itself. Shut the door, shut the door, shut the door. And I know we as parents have repeated ourselves, shut the door, shut the door, shut the door. Kids run out, leave the door open, shut the door. Leave the refrigerator door open. You may have to tell your husband to shut the door all the time. But anyway, I want to look at this expression here that God gives us here in this fourth chapter of 2 Kings. And I want to put a label and identify these three doors that I believe that may be open in our life today that God would have us to shut. And that God would have us to shut these doors and walk away from them. If you'll notice that every time the door was shut, they left the door. They did not stand there and hold the handle, the doorknob. But they left the door. They shut the door and got busy. They shut the door and things began to happen in that closed room behind closed doors. And there are times in our life that we pray that God would open a door, that God would give us an opportunity, because a lot of times we look at open doors as opportunities. We may pray, "God, give me an open door to witness to my friend on the job or at school." There are times when I was preaching in evangelism for the 15 years of my life, I said, "Lord, give me open doors of opportunity. Put it upon a pastor's heart to call me for a meeting, or God, just give me an open door to preach your word at a nursing home, a rest home, a jailhouse." And I've done all these things, and God's been so faithful to give me open doors of opportunity. But you know what? A lot of times we equate open doors with blessing. And we think that there's always a blessing only behind or through the open door. But when we look at the stories here that God gives us three accounts here about these doors that were shut, we'll find out that there are blessings behind shut doors. There are blessings behind doors that are closed and doors that need to be closed. And maybe there's some doors open in your life and my life this very hour that God would whisper to us through His Spirit and through His Word, that God would say, "Why don't you just shut that door this morning? Why don't you just shut the door and walk away from it and walk in the victory that the Lord Jesus intends for us to have?" Notice with me here this first door that we encounter in verse 5. The Bible says, "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." The first door that I believe, this woman closed here in this event, is a door that maybe is open in your heart and mind today. And no doubt it's a door that we need to shut today. And I put a label, I entitled this door, "The Door of Doubt." The Door of Doubt. How many of us here this morning under the sound of my voice has a seed or an ounce of doubt in your heart and mind
Maybe a doubt about the will of God. Maybe a doubt about the way that God is directing your life. Maybe you've got doubts in your heart about, does God hear my prayers? Will God ever answer my prayer? Maybe there are doubts in your heart and mind about some things. Well, I hope and pray that God would help you and I to have the grace and strength today to shut the door of doubt in our life. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Why do you label this door the door of doubt? Well, I go back and look at the story here. Look in verse 1. The Bible says, now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. She cried unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him. And the very thing she does is she shuts the door. She shuts this door, I believe, of doubt. Here this woman has faced trouble and travesty in her life. Her husband is dead, and she's buried her husband, the love of her life. And what she didn't know was that her husband died in debt. And she's left with a heap pile of debt to take care of. And the creditor comes and knocks on her door and says, listen, because you have so much debt and you cannot pay the debt off, I'm going to take your two sons and I'm going to make them bondmen or slaves. And they're going to come with me and they're going to work off your husband's, your family's debt. You understand this morning? She's not only lost her husband now to death, but she's about to lose her two boys to debt. She's about to lose her two boys to become slaves, bondmen, to work off the debt that Debbie left behind. And so she comes to the man of God, and the man of God says, what do you have in the house that you can sell? And she says, I don't have anything of value. She doesn't have a living room suit. She has no chinette, no china, no dinette. She has no bedroom suit, no television, no Wii, no PlayStation, no nothing that she can sell that's of any value. And the man of God says, why don't you do this? She says, all I've got is a little pot of oil. He said, you go to your neighbors, borrow not a few, but get a lot of vessels, empty vessels, and bring them to the house. And when you come in, shut the door. And listen, we see three things quickly about this woman's actions here. Number one, we see that her faith was put to action. Look in verse 5. She shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she, by faith, she poured out. Poured out. Think of that. The most valuable thing she has, she's pouring out of her vessel into her neighbor's empty vessel. And so she puts her faith to action. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. Listen, faith is an action word. And here the Bible says have faith in God. Listen, she by faith picks up her pot and pours her oil into her neighbor's empty vessel, trusting, and by faith trusting that something miraculous is going to happen. And listen, nothing will ever miraculously happen in our life as long as there's doubt in our heart. Listen, we must come to the place in our Christian life to where our feelings follow our faith. If your feelings are out front, listen, friend, your feelings are like a roller coaster, go up and down. Some of you may not even feel like being here today. You may not even feel like reading your Bible tomorrow. You may not feel like praying on Tuesday or Tuesday. Listen, friend, always our feelings must follow our faith. We walk by faith and not by feeling. We walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, friend, this woman says, I've got to have the miraculous. I've got to have something done. Listen, I'm at a desperate state. Listen, so by faith she puts it to action and pours into these vessels. And she, listen, we find here that she pours out by faith, trusting God. And then verse 6, she has accomplishing faith. Her faith has accomplished something. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when the vessels were, say it with me, full. that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Listen, she desired more. She desired more. And when we cease to desire, listen, we cease to get from God. And here she desired more vessels. She's been pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And she looks in her pot, she's still got oil. She pours out and pours out, looks in her pot, she's still got oil. She pours out and pours out, looks in her pot, she's still got oil. Her faith has accomplished something. I mean, God is doing the miraculous. And listen, friend, there is no room for doubt in our heart. Shut the door of doubt today and put your faith in the Word of God. Put your faith in the promises of God's Word. Put your faith in the power of God, that God can move the mountains, that God can part the Red Sea in your life, that God can stop the mouth of lions in your adversity, that God can move in, and the devil has to flee. Listen, shut the door of doubt today. And believe and trust God's Word. Have faith in God. Her faith was put to action. Her faith accomplished something here. Look at verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. Oh, can you see the gloom or the gleam upon her face? And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children the rest. Isn't that the way God does it? She not only had her faith put to action and her faith accomplished something, but her faith brings assurance. He said, I'll tell you what to do, Miss Widow Woman. Won't you go sell that oil? Pay that debt off. What you got left over, you and your boys go to McDonald's. You go and live off the rest. I mean, live off the rest of it. Think of that. The rest of her days is what he's meaning. The rest of her life. You live off the rest. Isn't that just like the Lord? If we would just believe God and shut that door of doubt this morning, quit trying to second guess it. Quit trying to figure it out and just know that God's God to keep His Word. He's a God of His Word. And listen, friend, He's the Word. This is the Word of God, God's Holy Writ. This is the inspired Word of God preserved for you and I. And listen, friend, believe the promise of the Word of God. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible. So fear not and trust God today. And close that door of doubt. Oh, listen, when she shut the door, business picked up, friend. And as long as that door is open in our life, we'll wander around, we'll fret. Listen, we'll bite our fingernails to the quick. Listen, we'll scratch our head bald. Now, I'm telling you what, listen, we'll pull our hair out. Listen, friend, someone looked at me the other day and said, what's all that white in your hair? I said, that's stress. It ain't wisdom, I'll tell you that. It's called pastoritis. Amen. Lisa said, I've never had itis. Titus said, well, you've had me, Titus. Amen. But anyway, you get that ball slow free. Listen, the world says, can God? But the believer must say, God can. God can provide a table in the wilderness. God can provide a well in the desert. God can send revival to our hearts and our homes. God can provide shelter. God can save your loved ones. God can supply your need. God can set you free from habits and bondage. Listen, shut the door of doubt this hour and believe God. Anchor your faith wholly, wholly in God as an anchor both sure and steadfast. God did it before. He'll do it again. There's no need to doubt Him now. Here, this little widow woman, thank God, live thou thy children of the rest. Assuring faith. Now, let me show you the second door right quick. Look at verse 21. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. What is this all about? Well, for sake of time, beginning back in verse 8, this was a couple, a Shunammite woman, her husband, and they love preachers. Matter of fact, they love Elijah. Elisha. And when Elisha would come by and come through their way, they built him a little room, which is called what we call in today's terminology a prophet's chamber or a prophet's room. A lot of churches have those. It'd be good if we could have one day where a preacher come in, wouldn't have to put him up in a motel, we'd just put him in a prophet's room and have all the facilities that he needs, him and his family, whatever it may be. But that's what he had. Look at it there. It had there in verse 10, make him a little chamber. Put him a bed, a table and stool there, and a little candlestick. And said, listen, we love preachers. And listen, you'll do yourself good and your family good if you'll learn to love preachers. I may never be a great preacher or even a good preacher, but I can be a friend to one. I can be a friend to great preachers. I can be a friend to good preachers.
Listen, learn to befriend preachers. And here they love preachers, and here the man of God came through, and this man and woman had no children, and he told her, said, listen, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. She couldn't believe him. Said, nay, my Lord, lie not unto thy handmaid. That's what she said there. And then in verse 16, he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father's, to the reapers, and said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then sat with me, died. Think of that. How heart-wrenching can this be? How devastating. Here, you went so long with childless, barren. And then the man of God comes and stays because your kindness, God blesses your womb, and God gives you a little boy. And hear the little pitter-patter, hear the little giggles and the laughter and all the things that go in. And here it is, he grows up, he becomes a little lad and a little young man, and he goes out to the field and he gets sick and he begins to cry, my head, my head. The father told the lad, said, carry him to his mother. And when he came in, mama reached down and picked him up. And the Bible says he set him on her knees till noon. You see her rocking him, maybe humming to him some lullabies or little children's Bible songs. The next thing she knows, he just limps. He dies on her lap. She has finally gotten a child that she's longed to have. And now, all of a sudden, one day, the Bible even says in verse 18, it fell on a day. This child dies in her arms, dies in her lap. What does she do? What does she do with this dead child? Look at it here. It's very important. Look at the very next thing. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Can you imagine that? That little boy, she's so long that she bathed and fed and clothed and played and taught, sang with, tucked in every night, comforted in the stormy nights. She takes that little lifeless baby, that little lifeless boy, not a baby no more, but a little lifeless lad, takes him to the bed of the man of God and lays him there so gently, so gently. She turns, walks away. She shuts the door. She shuts the door. I look at this first door and I label it the door of doubt. But I label this door the door of defeat. If there's anything that will defeat you and crush you and I, is to lose things that are precious to our life. Things that literally just knocked the wind out of our sail. You may not lose them by death. Maybe other ways you lose things. Division. Contention or strife in a home. People walk, turn away. Families divided. Children against the parent, a parent against the child. Division. Listen. But she took that little child, she laid him on the bed, and the very next thing she does, she shuts the door. The Bible says she goes away. I want you to see that. I want you to see what she does. And this is what God wants us to do. When we shut that door to feet, we're saying that I'm not going to allow this disappointment has come in my life. I'm not going to allow it to defeat me. I'm not going to allow it to lord over me. When this disappointment and this broken heart, something has broken my heart, something that someone has disappointed me, or something bad has happened, I'm not going to allow this to defeat me and to control my life. So she lays him on the bed of the man of God and shuts the door and leaves him. Leaves him. Look in verse 21. She goes, the Bible says, and the next thing she does, after she shuts the door, she went out. Look at verse 23. Talk about her husband here. And now we've got to understand that Elisha's about 15 miles away. He's there at Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel's about 15 miles away. And she said, I got to go get the man of God. Verse 23, and he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Dry and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said unto Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, Say it with me, It is well. How in the world can it be well when it's not well? How's your husband doing, Miss Shunammite? Oh, he's doing well. Then her mind, she remembers the images of him weeping as he hears the news of his dead boy. How are you doing, Miss Shunammite? It is well. But her heart is crushed. Thousands of pieces. Her dreams have been just so dashed. The darkest day she's ever lived. But her response, it is well. Then the unusual thing is, he says, How's the child doing? The last image she has of that little boy, maybe he's already turned a little bluish gray. He's about as limp and lifeless. And the last image she has is when that door clicks and closes. But her response was, It is well. It is well. Listen, how can it be well when it's not well? How can it be well when it's not well? How can we smile when there's nothing really to smile about? How can we sing the songs of Zion when it seems like something has literally taken the song out of our heart? How can we rejoice when it seems like all rejoicing is gone? And there's nothing but a lifeless dream, a lifeless desire that I once had, now it's gone. And I've shut the door. But I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow it to defeat me. I'm not going to allow it to control me. I'm going to have to pick up. And by the help and grace of God, I'm going to have to keep going forward. I'm going to have to keep moving on. I can't go back. I can't sit down. I can't sit soaking sour and get bitter at God. So by faith, I've got to shut that door to defeat. And I've got to run to the man of God. And when she gets down there, Gehazi said, How's your husband? How are you doing? How's the child doing? Her answer was this, It is well. It is well. Look here, please. Look at verse 27. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone. Look at this. For her soul is vexed within her. You say, you mean she wasn't troubled? That child died? I mean, she was, all right with it? No. Her heart was vexed. But her faith was still anchored in God. It is well. It is well. My heart is broken. But it's well. It's well. You see, God wants us to look in verse 27. It said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. May I say this this morning, that there's going to be times, listen to me, that only you and God knows what's going on. Only you and God know the burdens on your heart. There are some burdens today that I don't even tell my wife. Not that I'm trying to keep any secrets. There are some things that just me and God know about. There are some things, listen, that only you and God are going to carry through this life. There are some scars that you're going to look and maybe they're hidden to men, but you look and you see them, that scar. Once you see that scar, it reminds you immediately what happened on that day. Here Elisha says, Listen, Gehazi, God's kept it from me. I don't know what's going on, but it's between her and her God. Verse 28, Then she said, Did I desire a son, my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the child's face. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And, And he arose and followed her. This door of defeat. You know what? Listen, let me just back up and say this. You know what the picture of this woman taking that little child and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door? You know what's a picture of this morning? The same thing God wants me and you to do with our burdens and our disappointments and our brokenness. God wants us to bring it all to Him and just lay it before Him. And this morning, shut that door and walk out of this service today and leave your burden with Jesus. That's the picture there. She took what she couldn't fix. Do you have lost babies? Do you have lost folks? Do you have hurting people that you know? And you want to save them? You want to be saved for them? But you can't. Why don't you bring them to God today? Say, Lord, here's my son. Here's my daughter. Here's my neighbor. God, I'm just going to shut the door and I'm just going to believe you. By faith, I'm going to say it's well. By faith, I'm going to trust you, Lord. Even though it doesn't look good at this time, the clouds are dark. But by faith, I'm going to bring my burden to you, Lord, and I'm going to lay it before you, and I'm going to shut that door, and I'm not going to allow that to control me. I'm not going to allow it to defeat me. But I'm going to march on, and I'm going to go on singing the song of Zion, singing victory in Jesus, singing as the choir sang this morning, I'm on the winning side. How can you say it's well when it's not well? You put your confidence in the Lord. You find your comfort in the Word of God. And you know that He knows. And you know that God's able to do it again in your life and my life. But then we come down to this last door. In verse 33, Elisha comes. In verse 32, when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead. And laid upon his bed, and he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. And prayed unto the Lord. Not only should we shut this door of doubt and this door of defeat, but I believe that one of the important doors that we need to close today is the door of distractions. The door of distractions. Things that the devil will use to cause us to lose sight, to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our smile, to rob us of our song, to rob us of our desire to serve God. Distractions. There are people in this world. Listen, the unsaved can become a distraction to us. Asaph was distracted by the unbeliever. He said in Psalm 73, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was distracted by the unbeliever. It appeared to me they were gaining and I was losing. They were winning and I was losing. But then he says in verse 17 of Psalm 73, until I went in the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. God has put them in slippery places, and their desolation shall come as in a moment. You know, there are carnal people that cause us. Those that have worldly minds can cause us to become distracted. We look at folks living loose lives, and we think, well, it appears they're having a grand old time. I mean, they're serving God on Sunday, running with the devil, the world on Monday, and the rest of the days. And it seems like they're getting by with it. Listen, friend, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. There is a reckoning day. Don't allow the unbeliever, don't allow the carnal believer to get you and I out of the will of God and get our eyes off the Lord. Then you know what? The cares of life can cause us to become distracted. Things just happen. Lies and troubles. Listen, distraction. Be distracted to quit, to wander, to get away. David and Samson and Elijah, these young and old preachers, at one time they were distracted, and it cost them. I remember the man that I saw in prison one night. I think I've shared this illustration with you. I'll say it again. I stood there in that prison, that room, that recreation room, and I preached that night, that Thursday night. I saw a young man walk in that I saw at camp meetings. He sat on the front row waving his hanky. I mean, shout with the best of them. He worked at a Christian business. I'd see him every so often. We'd speak to one another. And I remember preaching that night, and he walked in a prison uniform. When the service was over, I stepped down this side of the pulpit, and I walked down the aisle, and I walked right to him, and I shook his hand. He shook my hand. I said, good to see you again. I said, man, what in the world are you doing in here? He said, preacher, I got my eyes off God, and I messed up.
And that night I went home. The first thing I did, I ran back to my bedroom. I jumped on my bed face first in my mattress, and I cried and wept and said, "Dear God, help me to keep my eyes on you, lest I end up in prison, lest I end up worse shape than him." You see, it only takes one time. Some of you this morning listening need to shut that door. Shut that door, distraction. David was distracted when he saw Bathsheba washing herself. Committed adultery with her. Samson was distracted by Delilah. Told her all of his heart. And oh, listen here, Elisha comes. And when he comes in, he shuts out all the noise. The mourners, no doubt, have gathered. The neighbors have gathered because now a few days have passed. And this little child is still in there in the man of God's room, laying on the man of God's bed. And he goes in there and he opens that door, just him and that child, and closes the door. Look at verse 34. And he went up and laid upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. You know what there's a picture of here? No doubt that child's body is cold. I mean, yes, it's a natural process. But the man of God lays himself upon that child, and the heat from the man of God's body warms the cold, lifeless body of this little child. There's a picture up there. We should not give up on people so quickly. Gehazi goes down and takes his staff and says, "The child's dead, Elisha. No hope. No hope. No hope. No hope." When Elisha got there, he went in and shut the door. He shut no hope out. Laid on that little child. Spent some time with him, loved him, nurtured him, discipled him. I mean, you can picture it in your mind. Listen, there are people you and I just need to spend some time with. There are some people, listen, that need a little bit more time. Don't give up on people so quickly. Don't cut people off so quick. Listen, God's able to work on the other end. Is that not right? I tell you, listen, thank God for that. And here the man of God comes, and look at verse 35. And then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." And when she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and did what? And went out. Last time she went out, she shut the door. This time she went out rejoicing. All because the door was shut. Elisha shut the door. Think of this. Think of what God does in your life if we'll just shut some doors today. Shut some doors. Shut that door of doubt this morning. I don't know what you need to believe God for today, but believe God for it. He said, "Well, that hadn't happened yet. We've been praying." Listen, God knows what time it needs to happen. Just believe Him again. Shut that door of defeat. Whatever's happened in your past, disappointments, brokenheartedness, hurt feelings, whatever it is, bring it to Jesus today and lay it before Him and shut the door of defeat. Say, "I'm not going to allow that to control me. I'm going to walk out of this service today saying it is well." How you doing? It's well. Some people you have to be careful to ask how you doing. But you know what I try to learn? As long as God's on the throne, but it's well. Chew on that. You'll get it on slow freight tomorrow. Long as God's on the throne of glory, it is well. Just because it's not going my way does not mean it's not going God's way. As long as God is on the throne, reigning and ruling in power, He will forever, and He has in eternity past, it'll always be well. Walk out of here today saying it's well. God's got it. I've gave it to Jesus today. He'll take care of it. Shut that door of distraction. Don't allow people to distract you. People like to talk, you know. Listen, if we would gossip the gospel more than we gossip everybody else's garbage, we can get the gospel around the world. Huh? Shut out those distractions. Close them out. Shut them out and say, "Lord, I'm going to get along with you." And that's what Elisha does. He gets along with God. Spends time there. The little boy wakes, sneezes seven times. What a happy day that was, no doubt. And it all happened because the door was shut.
What a happy day in your life, friend, when you and I shut the door. If you'll notice, they walked away from those doors. They didn't stand there and say, I have to open this door back up here in a minute. No, just shut it. And that woman got busy. Her faith was put to action. Her faith was accomplishing something. Her faith was given assurance. The Shunammite woman laid it there before God and shut the door and declared, it's well. God's got it. God has it. It's well. It's bigger than life. It's bigger than me. I can't fix it, can't change it, but I gave it to God. And it's well as long as it's in God's hands. Shut the door of distractions.